Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today, very, very good friend of mine, very, very good Rockies beat reporter, Kevin Henry of Just Baseball. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, it's all good, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. You're rocking a little purple today. Nice.
Why not, right? Got a little CR over there. There it is. Anyway, yeah, got it rocking. Figured if I was going to be on your show, the Rockies Insider, I better Rockies up. So here you are.
Got to rock the Rockies. Absolutely. Yeah, plenty to talk about today. Second half of the show, we'll get into some NL MVP, NL Rookie of the Year, end of season award votings. What are the top storylines to watch in the second half, really in the final 7 weeks of the season for the Rockies? We'll talk about the loss on Monday night in kind of heartbreaking fashion, disappointing, frustrating fashion. But let's talk about the news of the day, where we started on Monday. Chris Bryant onto the injured list once more with the lingering back issue that he's been having for a while. Third IL stint of the season, has already missed 74 games. When you saw this news and you thought back to the weekend of games and activities for Chris Bryant, were you confused? Were you puzzled? Were you disappointed? What went through your head?
I wish I could say I was shocked at this point, but obviously I think we in the Rocky Mountain time zone have come to expect Chris Bryant to be hurt. And I hate to say that because I know that that's not good for the Rockies as a team. But at the same time, it's just one of those things that you feel like every time that there's a ball that's hit sharply to him in the outfield or he gets hit by a pitch or whatever it might be, you kind of wonder, uh-oh, what's going to be the ramifications of this? And there were a couple of times this past weekend during that series with the Braves and the Mets that, you know, some things happened and you went, gosh, is KB going to be okay? And I think we've reached that point with KB and his Rockies tenure is any little thing, you know, if it's a Ryan McMahon or Brandon Rogers or whoever, they kind of dust it off. But when it's KB, you think, gosh, what's this going to lead to next?
And he's banged up to begin with, right? Has this back issue that could possibly need surgery to correct. So he's already, you know, three quarters of what he would typically be. So when he does go back on a ball like that, or if there is some kind of collision or something like that, a lunging play, a diving play, as you said, he's going to be maybe worse for the wear than somebody a little bit younger, somebody with a better track record. And this is the narrative that exists now because of all the IL stints. And what's wild to think about is here we are in year three, and this deal isn't even halfway through the 7-year, $182 million contract that was signed ahead of the 2022 season.
I'm really starting to wonder if he's going to make it through the life of the contract. Not that the Rockies would cut him, but will his body really hold up and that he's going to be able to fulfill the entire length of that contract? I'm not sure. You know, I think we're seeing so many signs right now that back is worse than maybe we thought, or maybe, you know, the Rockies even thought, that you think, can he do four more years of this? And I'm not sure at this point.
Yeah, already had an IL stint in April, low back strain, had the left rib contusion that ended up becoming like an oblique issue in June and July. And this one, I don't really remember any plays in particular in that Atlanta series where there was something that happened. He did get hit by a pitch in the Mets series right after Harrison Bader got hit and was not very happy about it. But that was a lower body injury, lower body hit by a pitch. I don't know if he had lunged forward. He did play after that and seemed to be fine. But yeah, he's a fraction of himself, unfortunately. And you're right to have those concerns, not only of just, well, we can get to the conversation about designating him for assignment or letting his contract go, waiving him, whatever. But even still, you say in 4 years' time from now, or 3 years, or 2 years, would we ever see him back on a playing field, even at the league minimum for another team? It's just like you said, can his body hold up to the rigors of the 162-game marathon?
And I know there are plenty of people out there that are like, well, you just need to DFA him. You just need to cut him. You know, it's not working out. I don't see a scenario where Colorado is going to do that. I think that they brought him in to be kind of the face of the franchise, the tent pole in the lineup, the aircraft carrier, whatever you want to say about it, is that they brought him in for that. So I think to cut him or to DFA him would be such an acknowledgement that it's been a failure. And it has, let's be perfectly honest. But still, I don't think the Rockies are going to let their pride let them do that, shall we say.
And when you think about him staying on the roster, you think about, well, that does take up a spot on the 40-man, more cases than not the 26-man roster. But this is a team now hurtling towards 100 losses for the second year in a row. They're essentially bringing back the entire roster for next year in 2025. And we know their inabilities to sign free agents, or really the reluctance of free agents to sign to Colorado. So it's not necessarily even a Colorado Rockies specific problem. Even when they do dip their toe in that water, they have a hard time, you know, really pinpointing the right free agent that is going to be a positive fit. They've struggled to make difficult trades in which they have to part with something that they really value in order to get something else back. So they're running back for really almost the third year in a row, a 100 loss roster. And you say, well, Chris Bryant staying on this roster and staying on the 40 man doesn't really clog things up. Sure, you want to turn the roster over and turn some playing time over to the young guys, but that really remains to be seen. That's one spot on a 40 man. We've seen the Dodgers roster Andrew Tolles in order for him to continue to have insurance. We see guys that are getting Tommy John are going to be out for an entire year that end up getting rostered. So if they have to operate with a 39 man roster instead of a 40 man because of Chris Bryant, that's not a major detriment to this franchise where they're at this point in time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for, as you were talking about next year's roster, it is, what is Chris Bryant's place on this roster? Yes, he's going to take up a spot, you know, and let's go under the scenario that Charlie Blackmon does not return next year. I think that is still very much up in the air. But in a scenario where Charlie does not return, then you've got a DH spot that you could say, look, Chris is going to be our DH. He's not going to play in the field. We're going to limit his body out there, make sure that he's as healthy as humanly possible. You know, would that be a full-time DH scenario, knowing that you've got an outfield with hopefully Jordan Beck, hopefully Brenton Doyle, hopefully Nolan Jones? You know, you've got a first base with Michael Tolia that could hopefully be handled. You know, it feels like that's a fit that it could be if you wanted to protect Chris Bryant.
It is. Yeah. Blackmon, as you mentioned, is a free agent after this year or is retired after this year. So as of right now, you know, his 1 year deal that he got for $13 million for this year is going to come off the books. Daniel Bard, $9.5 million coming off the books. Elias Diaz, $6 million. Austin Gombert remains to be seen. Could he be a guy that gets designated for assignment? He's set to make probably about $5 to $6 million in his final year of arbitration. So they're going to be saving about $35 million or so over this year's roster to next. They're probably projected at about $140 million for 2025. Where are you going to necessarily spend that extra bit of money? And you don't need to save that money, right? Trading Chris Bryant, I think there was some conversation at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure where it emanated from of, hey, what if you traded Tovar and Bryant? Then you get that money off the books. Rockies have some money to spend. People are still coming to the ballpark to see a last place club. So they're not really hard up for money for the payroll. So him making $27, $28 million over the next 4 years doesn't really hamstring them in any way going forward.
It really doesn't. And again, I think you've got to almost take the money side out of it and say it's more about the production side. And in that scenario we were talking about a minute ago, if Chris Bryant is going to be your DH, is he going to be a good enough DH to really hold down that spot every day? You know, he was starting to show some signs of things. Again, singles, you know, not power related during this stretch right before he went back on the IL. But I think that that's the next question you've got to ask is if Chris Bryant's going to be your full-time DH, can he really produce like a full-time DH should? He's never going to be a Marcell Ozuna. You know, that's just not going to happen. But is it going to be enough for him to bat lower in the lineup, that sixth, seventh spot, and be a singles guy?
Yeah, I don't know that I can safely say anymore that Chris Bryant is going to win a batting title. That was something that I really thought early on, just seeing him, just watching him take batting practice, how easy his swing was and how just easy it is, basically. There's no other way to say it. He just has this nice, easy swing. The ball doesn't really fly off his bat quite as much as it does in spring training once you get to the regular season, but just can spray singles around all day long. And we've seen that. And he's probably going to be a 300 hitter while he's with the Rockies overall. But is he going to provide that power? Is he going to provide that pop? And if you do have that young roster, you mentioned those three guys in the outfield in Beck, Nolan Jones, and Brenton Doyle. And there's at least three more guys down in the minors that are waiting to get some playing time. So you play the three best defenders, and whoever is left behind as number four should be your DH, except Chris Bryant is going to be there and not maybe providing the same dynamics that Charlie Blackmon is able to provide. He can steal a base here and there, certainly can run into a couple balls and hit some home runs and see a lot of pitches too, be that leadoff hitter, create a little bit of stability for the lineup. That kind of remains to be seen if Chris Bryant can be that guy going forward.
You know, and you and I were at a game earlier, forgive me, I don't remember which one it was, but Chris Bryant was coming home on a throw and was out by a quite a mile. And we both looked at each other and it was like, he just doesn't have the speed right now. And again, I know that that's a lot to do with the back. And, you know, the back has so many different lingering issues with it. But as you said, Chuck can still steal a base. You know, there are guys on the team that can still steal a base. That's not KB. And he's going to be a guy that, as your DH later in the game, if you're going to need a run, you may pinch hit for him, you know, because he's just not going to be that guy. He's going to be able to motor around from first on a double.
Chuck knows his limitations at this point in his career, and he can work around them because he's a veteran. And Brian is really adjusting right now to this point in his career where there are a lot more limitations. And if you try to do a little something extra, I think that's where you could have those injuries flare up. And I'm kind of curious, do you think Chris Bryant comes back this season? If this is, again, already a lost campaign and you're not going for the postseason and you've got four more years, you should be thinking about those next 4 years, or you should at least be thinking about 2025. Is it good for Chris Bryant to come back at all on the playing field for the Rockies in 2024?
I don't know. You know, I honestly was thinking about that before we came on today. And one thing I looked up, and, you know, is Chris Bryant's played 159 games for the Rockies during his playing career. So we're still three short of a full season that he's put together since he signed with Colorado. Trevor Story, our old friend that showed up, you know, he's on his way back from injury. He's played 145 games. And I really wonder which one's going to hit 162 games with their new franchise first. And in my heart of hearts, I think it could well be Trevor Story who gets to 162 first, even though he's got a lot longer way to go.
And who's going to get to 200 games played first? Who's going to get to 300? Yeah. Trevor Story, you know, this most recent injury was very flukish. And yeah, as you brought up, we're in season three here, and Chris Bryant is yet to provide 162 games played. I had to look this up, and since 2022, since the start of 2022, as you mentioned, Chris Bryant, 159 games played in nearly three seasons. That's tied for 372nd most games played in all of MLB. So 371 players over the last 3 years have played more games. Who's just ahead of him on that list at 371 with 161 games played? Former Rockies prospect Tyler Nevin. That's baseball. Kevin, that's baseball.
Exactly. But you know, going back to your question, I seriously do wonder what the advantage would be of KB coming back this year. If he is well enough to come back, let's say the Labor Day time period, let's say sometime around maybe the Orioles coming in right before the holiday, whatever that might be, is it worth him being there, would he really provide that much of a lineup? I'm going to guess the competitor in KB is going to say, yeah, I want to be back. Yeah, I want to play. Buddy put me in the lineup, all that good stuff. And, you know, let's not forget the Cubs are coming to, you know, Coors in the middle of September. So there may be a little bit of extra momentum there just to be back in front of those Cubs fans again. But what benefit is it going to provide? I just don't know the answer.
September 13th through 15th, a weekend series, as you mentioned, against those Cubbies. That's certainly one he's probably targeted. But again, his value on the field kind of remains to be seen because he's injured, because of the back issues that he's had. His value to the clubhouse, obviously a lot more. You know, we got to see that actually firsthand when we were in Chicago, you know, being a leader to Nolan Jones and saying, hey, man, let's see if we can get to 20 home runs. Let's see if we can get to 60 RBI. Let's have a couple goals. If you hit those goals, you know, maybe there could be a Rolex watch in there for you. And sure enough, it was. So he's still an important figure, I think, in that clubhouse. So he's not going to disappear by any means, but disappeared off the field. There's probably strong odds to suggest that we probably won't see him again in 2024 for the Rockies.
And if that's the case, I know that Rockies fans, to be perfectly frank, probably won't miss him. You know, there's not a lot that he's going to provide to the lineup every day. And if you're starting to have some of those call-ups come up in September, if you're starting to test some of those new guys, when Nolan Jones returns, once Jordan Beck gets back into his rhythm, you know, I don't know where the place is for him, to be honest. And especially if it starts to become that this is Charlie's last year, you know, as well as I do, that they're going to play Charlie as much as they humanly can in order for that to be good for him.
Chris Bryant, this marquee figure that unfortunately they can't keep on the field. Charlie Blackmon very much could be at the top of the marquee should there be some kind of announcement made in September, maybe late in the year. My predictions, and I don't want to get ahead of things too much in the prediction game as far as Charlie Blackmon, I think we'll get word in game 161 that, hey guys, tomorrow's Charlie's final game. We've got his T-ball coach flying in. We've got his kindergarten teacher coming in. We've got his favorite fly fishing buddy. You know, like, this is all going on behind the scenes. It wouldn't surprise me if something like that happens. It gets me excited to think about that celebration of Charlie Blackmon. But you're right. We don't necessarily know what to expect with Chuck here.
We don't. And really, you know, after Todd Helton Day that's coming up this weekend, there's not a lot on the calendar that you can circle and say, oh, this is be worth it for the Rockies, especially, you know, the Broncos are really starting to take things over on the sports scene and everything else. So you kind of wonder, would there be something later where it would be that celebration of Charlie? Again, don't know if he's going to retire. Don't know any of that, but just speculating what it could be like if this is indeed Chuck's last season.
Yeah, you could go out and have him make the announcement that, hey, today's my final game, and then retire his number, because I think he very much deserves to have number 19 up in the rafters. And then certainly that does open up the conversation to all those other players that were great Rockies, right? Because right now there's just two, and they're both Hall of Famers. Charlie Blackmon probably not going to make the Hall of Fame despite having a solid case in general. Shout out in the chat to Noah. Noah's amped to have you here, Kev.
Noah, good man. I'll tell you what. Yep, it's been great to have in the press box, and still hoping I'll back out of here, out of Breckenridge for Saturday's game, and maybe run into Noah and the rest of the crew, including you.
I know Buddy will say from time to time, Chris Bryant, is, you know, he's the best hitter on our team. He probably has the best resume. I mean, it's I say probable, and you go, well, he does have a Rookie of the Year award, and he does have an NL MVP, which nobody else in the clubhouse has. But Charlie Blackmon is somebody that has, you know, a little bit more quantity than those quality seasons, sure. Multi-time All-Star still. Are we still going to hear anyone from the Rockies organization say Chris Bryant is the best player on this club right now?
I think there's still a narrative to be said for that. And I think that it is based on past experience rather than present results. And I think that's the important thing to remember, is that there's still a hope that KB can become that player that he was with the Cubs. I don't know that his back's going to allow him to do that, but I think their hope springs eternal. And I think that this is one of those scenarios. But, you know, I really do think that KB has – he's kind of become, I want to see what you think about this, the Daniel Murphy right now with the Rockies. You know how we thought that Daniel Murphy was going to be Mr. Doubles whenever he signed with the Rocks and hitting in the gaps and, oh my gosh, it's going to be great. And we said the same thing about KB. And neither one really materialized. So it feels like that this is kind of the same path where we thought we were going to get one player, and yet here's the other one.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison. It is funny because when you talk with Ryan McMahon in particular, because he's really the one guy who's still around from 2018, 2019. But when you talk to him, or even Trevor Story, when he came back with Boston, they bring up guys like Ian Desmond and Daniel Murphy. Like Desmond, I think, got a raw deal, and you go back and look at his numbers, 20 homers, 20 stolen bases, right? And so his numbers are a little bit more solid than you think about. With Daniel Murphy, he was there for 2 years, one of which was with no fans, and so really made no impact on the field, but his impact off the field in the clubhouse loomed a lot larger. And I think the same is true for Chris Bryant, where his impact on the field has been rather minimal, but behind the scenes and in the clubhouse has been more so. So it really will be interesting to see what happens over time with these young Rockies players and say, man, when I was coming up, Chris Bryant was integral to my growth and my development because of X, Y, and Z, and could have some fans going, oh yeah, that's right. I've kind of forgotten about that because the on-field record, you know, wasn't as strong.
Yeah, and you brought up Ian Desmond, and we know how hunted he was, shall we say, by Rockies fans. I mean, I remember that four strikeout game against the Angels where the boos rained down, and we've heard those boos for KB too. And I think that comes along with you get big expectations with a big contract, and you don't produce. And even in a market like Denver, which is absolutely, I will fight to a bitter end, that it's a baseball town, but it's also one where fans are very forgiving. But still, when you don't produce like that, they will let you know it.
Got to talk about the 5-4 loss to the Diamondbacks on Monday night. Part of this conversation with Chris Bryant, when you look at the starting lineup last night, Jordan Beck not in the starting lineup despite getting called up. I'm kind of okay with that, partially because you do have two left-handers coming up in Eduardo Rodriguez and Jordan Montgomery on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I think he'll be in the starting lineup. But a player I can't really figure out, and maybe you could help me out on this, that is just not getting playing time, Hunter Goodman. What's happening with him? Since June 24th, 60 plate appearances. Sam Hilliard got called up, and 77 plate appearances. We know Jake Cave has been playing a lot, 116 going into last night. Chris Bryant, even with 54. But Hunter Goodman doesn't get sent down to AAA just to get regular playing time, not really getting an opportunity to play right field, to play first base. Michael Tolley has been there. That's fine. Even when Elias Diaz first went down and Goodman was catching, Bud Black did say, you know what, maybe we've made a misstep with this guy. Maybe we should have been giving him more opportunities behind the plate as a catcher. And we're not seeing him in the outfield. We're not seeing him DH. We're not even seeing him catching. Kevin, what's going on with Hunter Goodman?
Well, I think you touched on it. I think he's blocked right now in a lot of ways. And I think the other day, whenever Hunter was in the outfield, unfortunately, he had the misplay on that ball, and he was no longer in the game shortly thereafter. You know, and I think Bud Black is a manager that you earn his trust. And he is a guy that he wants to see results, but he also, and you've heard him say numerous times like I have, he doesn't want to let a defensive play lose him the game. He, you know, he's talked about that with Trejo, with Shunk. If he's going to put guys in the lineup on a spot start, whatever it might be, he has to know that they're going to perform just as well as a Mack or a Tovar or whoever it might be. And the other day, Hunter Goodman had that misstep, unfortunately. And so I think even when the chances, whenever he has gotten in there, he's been pushing a little bit. But you're right. Tolley has secured first base for right now. You know, I think that they are going to let Diaz and Stalling handle the catching. I think the veteran catchers are very important in Bud Black's philosophy. So where do you play Hunter Goodman? And I'm like you. I think that Hunter could benefit from being at AAA, getting some at-bats regularly, things like that, rather than just sitting and being that backup who is almost, shall we say, a desperation play at this point for the Rockies.
It's funny you mentioned Alan Trejo, because in doing some research last night, and Alan Trejo, a lot of playing time, really as the backup shortstop. So you just need his glove off the bench, but defense first over the bat. Alan Trejo right now, and it's going to stay that way since he's with the Dodgers organization, goes down in Rockies history as having the most plate appearances without an extra base hit. 67 this season, zero extra base hit. Previous record was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Field, another middle infielder, 51 plate appearances. So Trejo, again, to your point, glove first, valued over that pop. So very interesting there. Let's get to the 5-4 loss on Monday night to the Diamondbacks. Bradley Blaylock getting the start there. As I sort of mentioned on Sunday, he was not the odd man out, but he was the only man in on the 40-man roster that could possibly start with so many of the long reliever types having been used up over the weekend. Simple roster math. He makes his Rockies debut and looks really solid, almost gets the quality start, one out short, but 5 2/3 innings pitched, gives up the 3 runs, does not walk a batter, and looks really solid against the Diamondbacks team who have scored the most runs in all of baseball. Pretty impressive what he was able to do. 6 hits, no walks, and 4 Ks.
You know, we're all about the immediate reaction, right? And so you look at the immediate reaction of him coming over in that trade from Milwaukee for Nick Mears, and he looked good last night. You know, I read some of the comments from Bud this morning about the start, what he thought. You know, he mentioned the quality of pitches. He seemed to be impressed with what he saw. And like you said, it felt like right there at the very end, if he just could have gotten past another couple of batters, that absolutely it would have not only helped the Rockies, but also helped him as well get that W.
And provided some much needed length for the Rockies rotation, because I know going into this game where it was an all-time low, fourth fewest innings by starters over a 7-game stretch in franchise history. The lowest was 23 2/3 innings pitched back in 2019. And who helped snap that streak on September 5th? Here's a name, Tim Melville, 5 2/3 innings pitched. So helped actually snap a 9-game losing streak. So Blaylock doing really solid, retired 6 in a row at one point, his second time through the order, 1-2-3 first inning. On the other side, Brandon Pfaadt, 7 innings pitched, gives up 4 runs, but walks none, strikes out 11. Dude fills up the strike zone, 6th starter this season to throw to get 11 strikeouts against the Rockies this year.
And I think that was the thing that I noticed, is that it was just going to be that night where they were going to have to take advantage of every batted ball, because you knew that the strikeouts were going to come. They just seemed to come in droves. But, you know, one thing that I really liked about Blaylock is that he obviously kept right up with that. You know, it didn't faze him that there wasn't much going on with the offense when, you know, there was from time to time, but for a lot of strikeouts. So I really liked the poise. I really liked the approach last night. And let's face it, it's probably not be the last time we see him on the mound this year.
Not bad for a guy who is yet to touch AAA. So making the jump from the AA Hartford Yard Goats, I think that was definitely a positive. Now, by comparison, the Rockies have 6 outings where the opposing starting pitcher has struck them out 11 or more times. By comparison, White Sox, only 3 times. Seattle, who has the most strikeouts in MLB, 4 times. Marlins, only 2. It happened 9 times last year, so got a few more probably on the way. Brendan Rodgers looked solid. RBI sac fly in his second plate appearance. Home run right after that. And just before that, made a nice diving play. So he's been super hot over the last 7 games. 11 for 26 and 1183 OPS. He's had a sneaky good season. Not great, but good. Had the one IL stint where he missed 11 games. He's reached 100 games played for only the 3rd time in his career. Probably going to be a little shy of his career high of 137 games played in 2022. But sneaky good year, probably on the outside looking in terms of being a Gold Glove Award finalist at second base this year for Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think that sneaky good year is something that it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason. You know, our friend Thomas Harding speculated that there was going to be a lot of trade rumors again this offseason around Rodgers, and he's putting up the numbers right now that it would seem that he might draw some interest. So I'd be real curious to see, you know, you talk about the roster coming back next year, if Rodgers is a part of that or not.
Also got to mention in our brief little minor league minute, maybe more like 30 seconds, depending on how long I can drag this out, Chase Dolander, Eastern League Player of the Week. He's been really exciting. Him, Sean Sullivan doing it at AA. Now with, as we just mentioned with Bradley Blaylock, guys are getting promoted from AA Hartford. And so these guys are now, in theory, one step away. Do you think we see them ultimately here in the final stretch, either Dolander or Sean Sullivan?
I personally don't. I don't think that they're going to rush them that much. I think some of the other guys, they'll feel comfortable with them making the jump, the Tanner Gordons, the Blaylocks, things like that. But I think these prize arms that they're really looking at is such a big part of the bedrock of the future. I absolutely don't see them rushing them this year, my personal take.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with you there, Kev.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.